Well, good afternoon, Senator Hobbins, Representative Hink, and other members of the committee. My name is Carol Lee. I'm a resident of Brewer, Maine, and I'm here today representing just myself to testify in opposition to LB 1810. By way of introduction, I've spent the last 40 years engaged in Maine's energy industry. For 32 years, I planned and operated the electric system of Bangor Hydro, retiring as president and chief operating officer in 2002. Since that time, I have offered my consulting services to a wide range of energy producers, deliverers, and consumers in New England and the Maritimes. I also spent a significant amount of my time as a volunteer board member for a number of nonprofit organizations, and I work collaboratively with the University of Maine, focusing on smart grid technology and educational projects. In my career, I've been a consistent advocate of electricity, believing that its form value offered a wide range of benefits for businesses and homes, and that its use would increase efficiency, improve the environment, and improve the productivity of the economy. Unfortunately, my view was rejected by Maine policymakers when, in the early 1980s, electricity was picked as a loser, and the energy policy was established that electricity use was inefficient and should be discouraged. Under LD 1810, it seems that the policymakers are now picking electricity as a winner. So you'd think I'd be supportive, but you'd be wrong, because I believe LD 1810 is highly likely to make electricity more expensive, just as the 1980s policies did, and lead to unintended consequences for the economy and consumers. At its essence, LD 1810 implements numerous policies to favor the development of massive offshore wind. It presumes that offshore wind will be economic, but that is far from likely, certainly not in the massive amounts proposed. In my opinion, the unsubsidized cost of offshore wind generation is in the range of 25 cents per kilowatt hour or more, including the additional infrastructure that will be needed to reliably manage the power system. That's 2 to 3 times as expensive as other alternatives. And since the main load can only effectively absorb about 250 megawatts, of wind generation, roughly 10% of the capacity. That's easily available from onshore wind at substantially less costs. And most of the 8,000 megawatts of wind generation envisioned will have to be exported outside the state. The justification for the massive wind build-out seems to be to provide electricity supply for the purpose of reducing Maine's heavy oil dependence by substituting electric-based systems for heating and transportation. But if wind generation is not economic, electricity will be too expensive to be used for that purpose. A less risky strategy would be to utilize already available, highly efficient natural gas fuel generation combined with end-use technology. So I'll conclude then and finish my testimony. I'll go back. The justification for the massive wind build-out seems to be to provide electric supply for the purpose of reducing Maine's heavy oil dependence by substituting electric-based systems for heating and transportation. But if wind is not economic, electricity will be too expensive to be used for that purpose. A less risky strategy would be to utilize already available, highly efficient natural gas fuel generation combined with end-use technology to achieve the same goal or a similar goal. Rather than a policy of picking winners or losers, Maine policymakers should support policies which reduce the cost of energy, particularly electricity, by eliminating mandates and subsidies. To explain this in more detail, I have attached to my testimony additional materials. In summary, the attachment explains that in energy policy decisions, Maine policymakers have had a poor track record in picking winners and losers. Beginning in about 1980, utility plans for non-oil power supply capacity from nuclear, coal, and hydro were rejected by policymakers in favor of electric conservation and non-utility generator contracts. When electric prices skyrocketed 50% relative to the U.S., policymakers implemented electric utility restructuring with the expectation of reduced prices and required utility divestiture of low-cost hydro, nuclear, and Canadian imports. As we now know, restructuring has not worked well, made electricity prices primarily dependent on natural gas prices, subjected Maine to the politics of other New England states and federal regulators, and increased the cost of electricity for both power supply and transmission and distribution. And recent actions of policymakers have continued to raise electric prices, from renewable portfolio standards to membership in REGI to a lack of success in correcting ISO New England policies. As explained in the attachment, I believe the solution to these problems is to eliminate the policies that increase electric prices. There are basic steps to be taken to achieve this goal: eliminating mandates and subsidies, facilitating Maine-owned electric supply resources to serve Mainers first, renegotiating the regional power pooling arrangement, and allowing electricity to be effectively marketed by utilities. I believe now more than I did in 1980 that taking such actions will result in substantial benefits to Maine consumers and the economy. These benefits will include reduced and less volatile energy costs, lower oil dependence, increased productivity and business activity in Maine. However, I do not believe that LD 1810 should be part of the solution, at least in its current form, as it would very likely make the problem worse by higher electricity costs. Thank you for the opportunity, and I take any questions, and I feel better.
Thank you very much for testifying, particularly under the circumstances.
Okay.
Thanks, Bob.
Very useful.
Thank you.
Representative Fletcher.
And thank you, Mr. Chairman.